What's up, cuz? Welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. My goal is to give foundation to the novice and inspiration to the advanced practitioner. If you have not guessed already, my name is Coco. Thanks to everyone who liked, commented, and subscribed wherever you are listening. I appreciate that show of love. We are creeping to the end of the year, aren't we? 2024 feels both like the longest year of my life and also the shortest. Like, where did the time go? But also, thank God, we're coming to the end. It's so much going on politically and socially and, you know, personally for me. And 2025 looks like it's going to be another wild ride, right? For some of us, the end of the year is December 31st, which makes sense because that is, in fact, the end of a standard calendar year. But for those of us who ride with the rhythm of the sun, the winter solstice marks the start of a new year. The winter solstice is the shortest day and the longest night of the year because the sun is further from us. Unless, of course, you live closer to the poles or the equator. I'm not a scientist. I'm an occultist. So so let me rephrase that. For those of us in the northern hemisphere, the winter solstice on December 21st is the longest night of the year, the shortest day, because the sun is further from us. Now, if you live in the southern hemisphere, then December 21st or thereabout would be your summer solstice, right? Because that would be the longest day of the year for you and the shortest night because the sun is closest to you. The winter solstice is only one part of the four-part solar rhythm or sun cycle. The other parts being the spring equinox, the summer solstice, and the autumn equinox. So after the winter solstice, the days start to get longer. They call it the sun's return, right? And then at the spring equinox, we see day and night balanced, and the days are warmer. Then after the summer solstice, or the longest day of the year, the days start to get shorter again. And then at the autumn equinox, that marks the balance of day and night yet again for the year, but this time with a crispness in the air that reminds us to start settling in, because the winter solstice will be upon us, starting the cycle all over again. Usually on the calendar, the winter solstice marks the first day of winter. I know that sounds crazy when I just said that after the winter solstice, it like the days get longer, and also we're like almost done December. However, that's just the way our calendar works. That's the way nature works. Winter doesn't begin until the winter solstice. And we know that the days are going to get colder and possibly some snow is on the way. But all while we're going through this frozen period, like I said, the days are getting longer. The sun is making a comeback. So yes, during winter, we tend to stay home and nest, right? We look at ourselves in the mirror and see that we've gained some weight, or we don't have as much money as we like, or we have a case of seasonal affective depression and getting out of bed is tough. And if you're anything like me, you are definitely in the house, bra off at 4:30 p.m. because the sun went down and you ain't going back out, right? But every day after that solstice, we are working toward coming back to life, just as the sun is making its comeback and the days are getting longer. Now, if you ask me, the rhythm of the sun, the solar cycle, is underrated in most spiritual practices. And I think it's because of two reasons. At least, again, these are my opinions. The first and most obvious reason folks don't take the time to observe the sun in their practice is because a solar cycle, that rhythm of the sun, takes too goddamn long. literally it takes a year, right? Our year is based off of this sun cycle, off of this rhythm that the sun creates. Like, you have to wait hundreds of days to utilize the sun and your magic for any particular reason. And as we know in hoodoo, we do work when work needs to be done, right? Because of this, I find that most folks, most spiritual folks, work with the cycles of the moon more than anything. When I say work with, I mean they incorporate the power of the moon, or if you're anything like me, which I think, I feel like most hoodoo spiritual people are like me, where the moon is more of a timekeeping device. It keeps you on track, keeps you on a rhythm, cleansing and removals and that kind of stuff. It keeps you in flow, right? But that's about it. But some people work with the spirit of the moon, the power that the moon provides. And the cycles, the reason why they do that is because the cycle of the moon is dependable and it happens more frequently, right? So that way you can do your work, you can base your timing in your practice around the moon cycle and not wait 50 to 100 days, right? Not wait 3 months, right? But cousin, don't sleep on the cycle of the sun. It may be a long time coming, but the summer and winter solstices and the spring and autumn equinoxes are powerful moments in time that help to push our lives forward, spiritual or not. We live around these cycles. Our sports is based on these cycles, like when football is played, when basketball is played, when, you know, when are we outside? When are we inside? Like all of, when do we harvest grapes for wine? Like all of this is based around the sun and how it operates, right? Like that's just how we get down. And that's because the sun is life-giving. Our bodies need it, right? As a Black woman with who's highly melanated, right? I have to actually take vitamin D tablets because I don't get outside enough because I work from home, and I don't absorb enough of my nutrients from the sun. Like I don't get this vital key component of life from the sun because I don't go outside enough, right? When I should, because typically human beings should be outside when the sun is up, right? Like we should be in the sun's rays. Or even the ability to see is because the sun gives light, right? The sun gives light. That light reflects off of the things around us, reflects off of us. And so, and that reflection, you know, is interpreted by our eyes, and we can see that sight, right? Plants don't grow unless the sun is there, you know. And we're thankfully, the universe has placed us in the perfect spot where it's not too far, not too close, so that way the earth can support life. But it supports life because of the sun, right? That's a key component to how we are alive today. So yeah, spiritual or not, the sun, the solar rhythm directly impacts us every day. Even though it takes 3 months to really harness those solstices and equinoxes in your practice. The second reason the solar rhythm is underrated, well, like I said, in my opinion, it's underrated, is because it's just not witchy or feminine, right? Like it's not perceived as witchy and feminine. And most folks, at least given by my statistics, who are practicing are typically women in this space. Although I know that there are male practitioners out there. And for the ones of you who are listening to me, thank you so much. I appreciate you for tuning in. But yeah, like it's just, you know, it's underrated because it's not witchy. It's not feminine. It's not mysterious. It's not that dark, you know, whatever. And I don't get it. Like when you're introduced into any practice, or you hear your call and start to test traditions, the moon is the first thing everyone gravitates towards, especially the women in the practice, because of that female energy it's said to harness. And socially, women, us ladies, we are being told to bend the knee to the menfolk, right? To denounce our masculinity and live in our feminine as much as possible, to be that traditional wife, whatever that means. Child, I remember walking into a witchy shop to pick up some 7-day candle. It was around the corner. I needed this candle. I didn't feel like pouring any, so here I am. And this black woman walked in with her much older boyfriend, and he could not figure out why they were in this space. He looked uncomfortable as she's like floating around the herb section and floating around the incense. And when he says to her, like, did you get what you need? Can we go? She just like all but screams out for the entire store to hear, I live too much in my masculine energy. And as a woman, it's not good for me. So you're just going to have to bear with me while I try to find my moon oils. Right? I cannot, in my wildest dreams, imagine what it would feel like to be scared of your own take charge and get shit done attitude. Because that, in the nutshell, is what masculine energy is, right? It's directness. It's being forward, right? Being bold, right? I cannot imagine what it would be like to be afraid of that fire, that passion that burns deep inside of all of us, male or female. And I also cannot imagine wanting to quench that flame to become more palatable for, you know, someone else. If someone else wants that, they want that soft feminine energy, and it's not inherent to you, they can just go find someone else who is soft and feminine all the time anyway. Like, seriously. Right? You can still have these, you know, this masculine energy. Again, I don't particularly like the word energy, and I definitely don't like this whole masculine and feminine thing. But you can definitely have that inside of you and not be ashamed of that. But some witchy women, some spiritual sisters, they live for their moon goddess soft feminine energy. And when it's authentic and it makes them happy, I am happy for them as well. I love that for you. But to me, the solar rhythm and the lunar rhythms, the cycle of the sun and moon, they are more than just masculine and feminine energies. They are the push and pull that allows our world to operate. Because of their cosmic rhythms, plants grow and oceans swell. During the day, you can see, you know, the moon resting up in the sky. And at night, you see the sun's brilliance reflected off of the moon. We need both of these cosmic forces to survive. And I believe that we should work in tandem with both, because you cannot have one rhythm without the other one. To bring it back to that whole masculine feminine energy, you cannot have one without the other. You're out of balance if you do so. And it's not inherent to just women being feminine and just men being masculine, right? You need both rhythms in you in order to survive. Okay, so my small rant out the way. Let's talk about the winter solstice, because that's what we're up against. At the time of this recording, it's like the day before the winter solstice. And by time of release, it'll be the day after. So there you go. Historically, the winter solstice is a major date. Early Christians pushed to move the birth of Christ to the winter solstice. Some think that they place Christmas time, like this time of year, to adopt the pagan celebrations that were happening in Rome, because at one point most Christians were what would eventually become Roman Catholic. Either that or they were Ethiopian, right? I personally think early Christians pushed to celebrate Christ's birth close to the winter solstice because of the magical implications. They wanted their messiah to align with a highly celebrated cosmic event, not necessarily pagan tradition. And it wasn't necessarily to recruit anyone either, but to show how superpowered their hero was, born to a virgin at the winter solstice. Now, we understand that Christ's birth couldn't have happened around the winter solstice because of story details like the shepherds bringing in their sheep and so on. Again, solar rhythm dictates that that would have happened like early spring. No one's putting out sheep in the middle of winter. It's time to make sure that they're not cold and dying out in the cold, right? Like, so they're not dying out in the elements, that you got to keep them in. But like most Christian mythos, it's more about story and lessons and less necessarily about historicity. It's more about the symbol of things. So yeah, they pushed to move the birth of Christ's, or I should say the celebration of the birth of Jesus, to around the winter solstice, the day that, you know, is mostly used to celebrate the winter solstice. The winter solstice also aligns with the 7-day festival of Saturnalia, which is the festival that most people think the church tried to eclipse. The holiday was celebrated in ancient Rome. Sacrifices at the Temple of Saturn, gift giving, and overall merriment were a part of the holiday celebrations. Now, I'm not that kind of pagan, so I can't say too much about it. But there is, of course, like other fun celebrations around the world. One that comes to mind is in Asia. I want to say China. It's called the Dongxi Festival. And that includes ancestor veneration, making rice wine, eating dumplings. And man, do I want some dumplings right now. Y'all, I'm on a all liquid diet. Because of some medical things coming up with me, and the thought of dumplings sounds so good. But I digress. What I'm saying is that most cultures around the world have some sort of winter solstice celebration that welcomes the longer days ahead and gives thanks to those around them or went before them. And it also marks a time when, you know, you're almost out of the worst parts of the year. You know, you're almost through now that the days are getting longer. And that's a phenomena around the world that we all understand. Of course, again, unless you're closer to the poles or closer to the equator, we all understand this kind of phenomena. And so it's celebrations around the winter solstice happen more often than people think. So far, this has been mostly like non-secular, very earth pagan cocoa talking, right? But the winter solstice, this general time of year, has some history for Black Americans as well. Famously, this time of year, especially the closer we get to Christmas, enslaved Blacks went on the run. I'm thinking of, especially up here in the up south, where you're closer to that northern line border. And then, of course, they moved the goalpost and also pushed it so that you had to get all the way to Canada. But especially around this time of year, you would see a lot of people running off of the Maryland and Virginian plantations trying to make their way to Philadelphia. The nights are longer. There was, you know, a little more downtime due to those Christian festivities. Bonus points if you ran during the dark moon. I think the best example of this is Harriet Tubman's escape and also her escape with her brothers. Now, she, like us, did her work when work needed to be done. However, what she tended to do was work with that solar rhythm, right? She would take up jobs in the summer and save all her money and then return back to Maryland during the winter months, you know, to get people out of bondage. Her first escape attempt, she had her brothers in tow with her, and that they didn't go very far because her brothers complained. They just complained a lot. The moon was too bright. the night wasn't short enough. And of course, they had no clue where they were going. So much to Harriet Tubman's chagrin, they turned back and went back. But eventually, as we know, Harriet did escape. Mother Moses got out and she walked. She walked right out of the gate of her temporary master's home. Her brothers were not with her when she did this. For more on that, check out the episode titled Mother Moses, I think. But yeah, eventually Harriet did come back for her brothers. I want to say it was like 5 years later. She had gotten word that one of her brothers was going to be sold. So she went back. It was around Christmas time. Mama Rit was oblivious to everything. And she was just, you know, making some food for the family for Christmas. Ben, her father, he knew the plan. He knew what was going on and he kept watch. Her brothers were allowed to visit them for a day of respite around Christmas time, you know, as we learned in Frederick Douglass's story. A lot of slave masters, they were only generous and kind during holy days, but every other day of the week in the year was fair game. but yeah, knowing these rumors that one of them was going to be sent deep south, they met Harriet at their parents' house, and night fell. And under the cover of a long, dark winter night, Harriet and her passengers were halfway out of Maryland by the time the sun rose on December 26th. And when the slave master came to collect the man to be sold, he was greeted with a very distraught Mama Rit and a Papa Ben who feigned ignorance the whole time. Right. There's a lot of other slave stories of people running, and they did so around this time of year, not necessarily Christmas, but winter solstice, right before, right after, you know, they ran around this time because it, especially on a Sunday, because they knew that they had the time to get away and they were under the cover of darkness enough to hide, right? So this time of year, believe it or not, also plays a role in our history as well. And you know, this time of year, around the solstice, it's also a chance for us to write our own path to freedom. You know, it's not as daring and harrowing as wading through the marshlands of Maryland, trying to get your way to Pennsylvania, trying not to be, you know, caught by dogs and slave catchers. But still, we can write our own path to our own personal freedoms. So how do you work with the spirit that has settled in our corner of the earth this time of year? How do you work within this solar rhythm that the winter solstice, you know, beats to? Well, the winter solstice is a chance for us to go inward. It's a chance to stop and ask ourselves, what do we really want and how can we make it happen? What do we need to get rid of in order to accomplish this? And then it's a time to plan day by day. What do we need to do to accomplish this goal? And as the sun starts to dominate the sky, you start to dominate your goals. When the days are long and the sun caresses us with its warm embrace, we have to be ready to live. We have to be ready to take advantage of that light that's coming to us. And it's my experience that you cannot do so unless you first rest and contemplate what exactly you want to live for before you can be bold and live in your passion and pursue go, you know, really push and drive yourself. You first have to rest and sit with yourself and contemplate, what is this all for? What do we do this for? Why do I want this? How do I get this? Untangle the emotions around that. And that's what the winter solstice is for. The winter solstice is there to help us untangle, to help us plan, to help us contemplate, to help us get ready. I marry my secular earth pagan beliefs with my hoodoo by doing an open road ritual this time of year. right? Like I said, you do work when work needs to be done, but because a big part of my spiritual, not religious, but spiritual belief incorporates the rhythm of the sun, that solar rhythm, I do my open road ritual this time of year, usually the day after the solstice. If you want to hear more about that, I did a whole episode on it. I'll make sure to link it in the description, or maybe you can click on it on the end card if you're watching on YouTube. But linking it, this open road with the winter solstice, is a symbolic move on my part. I like to imagine that as the days get longer, my path is lit more clearly, like it's clearly lit. A big open road psalm is Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I tend to repeat that when I can't find other words to say. That becomes my mantra. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. For some of you, that may mean, you know, capital spirit, capital S spirit, or capital G God is speaking and guiding you as you walk through life. For me, that's the life giving force that is captured by the solar rhythm, right? It's the universal force of life. And as a matter of fact, if you are hearing this within the week of the actual winter solstice this year in 2024, I'm already probably sitting naked at the altar, crowned with power and communing with my spiritual court, saying to myself, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, right? Going into 2025, going into this new solar rhythm, because to me, the new year is the winter solstice. That's when the year starts for me. I know that's not what the calendar says, but that's when the year starts for me. So going into this new solar rhythm, as the sun grows, as the sun makes a comeback and starts to dominate the sky for a lot longer, you know, the truth of the universe is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And as the sun illuminates the world longer every day, so too shall I move down my path with drive, ambition, with passion in my spirit, with that light inside of me and illuminating the obstacles in front of me. So as we traverse this liminal time of endings and beginnings, I want you to think about what you want to illuminate in your life next year. If you want to do some work for yourself, but you don't want to do that open road ritual per se, because I said it in the episode too, it's a lot, and I get that it's a lot. Here's something you can try. Simply light a candle and stare into the flame. From my personal belief, if you would like a color correlation or correspondence, this candle represents the power of the sun, the power of life. So I use a white candle. It can be a 7-day, it could be a taper, but I use a white candle. You can use whatever color works for you. Some people like to incorporate the colors of the sun, so orange or red, but whatever for you. I want you to light the candle and stare into the flame. Imagine that this flame lights your path. This will be the flame to work, move with you as the sun starts to dominate the sky again. And then write down exactly what it is you want to remove. So you soften your gaze. We're scrying, basically. You soften your gaze. You look into the flame. And you just think about what do you need gone by the time the sun is at full force again, by the time the days are longer, by the time we hit that spring equinox, what do you need gone in order to thrive, in order to prosper, in order to live in the overflow, right? and think about how that will bring you back to life. So that way by the spring equinox, when the days and nights are balanced again and we start to sow the seeds of fruit for our harvest at the end of the following year, you're ready, right? You can't plant anything in your garden until you weed first. So we're looking at those weeds. What do we need to remove? What shadows are lurking that we need to illuminate? And just by scrying into that flame, just by allowing yourself a moment to connect with that fire, things will start to come to you. Write those down in your petition, okay? Then I want you to burn the petition with the candle. Just burn it and collect the ashes. And I want you to spread those ashes at a crossroads. If you can't get to a crossroads, that's okay. Then I want you to hold on to that petition, put it underneath the candle, make sure the candle is in some fireplace safe thing, fire safe container, okay? And I want you to hold on to it. And then when the candle burns out, then I want you to put that petition in your wallet or your holy book. Again, you can either burn the petition and spread the ashes at the crossroads so you send out what it is you want to remove. Or you can use it as a talisman and hold on to it and put it in your wallet or your holy book to go back to. This doesn't have to be a long drawn out ritual like my open road ritual. It doesn't matter what kind of candle you use. That's up to you. This could be a simple, something very simple that you do at sunrise or sunset, preferably sunset, since we're trying to remove something, just to acknowledge the rhythm of the sun, okay, the power of the sun, the spiritual aspects of the sun, that life-giving force, and how it plays a role in your life. If you made it this far, I just want to say thank you, cousin, for allowing me space to be a secular hoodoo. Well, you didn't allow me necessarily. I took the space, but thank you for indulging me by listening. I always talk about how hoodoo is my magical baseline, right? It's the folk magic that I rely on. It's the folk practice that on which everything else is built. And I always say that you do not have to be Christian or participate in one of the more religious ATRs in order to do the work for yourself. But I very, very rarely talk about what that means for me or talk about how that shows up in my personal practice. And I guess after that animism and hoodoo episode where I just kind of laid myself bare about my cosmology, I got a little more bold, right? Like that masculine energy in me started to tickle. And I decided that I can speak my truth and allow you to hear that truth, knowing that you on the other side have your own truths and that we're just sharing information and maybe inspiring each other. We don't necessarily have to do all the same things, right? These are personal truths. These are not like capital T, the truth. This ain't Christianity. There's no one way to do it, right? For me, being a secular, earth, pagan hoodoo, that means living with the rhythms of the universe, acknowledging those rhythms and working in tandem with them in order to prosper and succeed. The solar rhythm in particular really guides how I move. It's not necessarily that masculine feminine thing, but like it tells me when to plant seeds spiritually and actually physically, right? Like when to put my garden down. It tells me when it's time to harvest, when it's time to collect on those blessings or actually seriously start to harvest my plants, right? It tells me when to go outside and be wild. I think all summer for 2024, I was never in the house on a Saturday. Saturday or Sunday, I was out doing something. I was out getting my hands dirty. I was out socializing. I was just, for the first time in a long time, allowing myself to be, you know, to burn bright like the sun. And it also tells me when I should take a step back and let my spirit rest and rejuvenate. And man, this fall into winter now, now that we're in winter season, I really needed that time to rejuvenate. I really needed that time to go into my spiritual garden and do some weeding. And I just wanted to share that with you all. I just wanted to share that these rhythms are not about, you know, the masculine and feminine, and that, yes, the solar cycle takes a whole lot longer, but it's definitely worth investing in, because these are about the solar cycle is about action and rest over a long period of time. It's that long game. It's about living intentionally and keeping pace with the tempo that the universe itself has set for us. Yeah. All right. So we've reached that part in the podcast where I, you know, dive into witchy and hoodoo spaces online and just kind of get a beat of what's happening in the online communities. And I read a question that I found. This first question comes from Reddit. It says, creating a sacred witchcraft space. When you are setting up a space dedicated for working, do you include any special ritual items or practices? I love to hear how personalized and enhanced your spaces are. Yeah, I do. So first of all, as a hoodoo practitioner, as a worker, I treat my home as an altar space, right? Like I treat my home as a temple. So how it's decorated, why I use certain colors in the space, how I clean it, all of that has to do with keeping a sacred space. When I do work, I use one altar. On that altar, I always have a representation of my ancestors. Although I did, again, separate out like a full ancestor altar space from my actual working altar. But on my working altar, I always have some sort of representation of them. And that working altar changes, A, because of the work I'm doing. So what's set there, how it's laid out, the work will dictate how it looks. But in between the work, in between all of that, I have like a baseline set up, and that changes with the solar rhythm, with the sun cycle. Right now it's an all black space. I've got all black. I've got some rib bones that are like framing it. I've got some sheep horns or goat horns flanking each side. I have my candle in the middle for what's the best way to put this? It's a candle stand in the middle. There's no actual candle there, but like if I ever wanted to do work, do a quick candle work or something, or a lamp work, I can do it because there's a space for it. And I have red wine out for the ancestors as my ancestral offering. yeah. So, oh, and I always have this piece of driftwood on my altar. It's just a staple, really. I anointed it with holy oil. I don't know why I have that there. I know that's not true. I know why I have it. I just cannot articulate in any way to you all. I think it has something to do with just how I see myself spiritually, like inside. But to articulate that is almost impossible for me. I've yet to be able to explain it. So, But basically, what I have set up it, for anyone looking at it who doesn't, who know, well, if you know me, looking at it, you know, it's a death altar, basically. I've got my bones. I've got my, you know, my pieces of dead things. It's dark. It's rich. I've got some skulls representation on there. Like it looks like a death altar. And I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. I think that that has less to do with hoodoo in general, and more to do with that, you know, secular earth-based pagan thing that like my spiritual beliefs are. Yeah, that's how it looks. That's how it's set up. It's definitely an earth. I got ravens. I've got a raven statue on there. I've got skulls. It looks like it's a death altar. I said ravens, but it's a crow, I think. Yeah, it's a crow. So yeah, that's how that one looks. But probably as we start to move to the spring equinox, it'll change. Like I'll change the cloth and all that. I'll change the setup, and it'll be more life-giving, I guess. Right, it'll be more towards the spirit of life that it looks and it'll be more dedicated to the spirit of life, let me put it that way. Some things that don't change though are what I have on the wall. So I have a painting that I did myself of waves. I have herb bundles hanging on the wall, including some eucalyptus, some stuff I grew from my own garden. I have a broom hanging, so that way when I need to do a quick uncross, I just take the broom and brush down. See what else. And I have some art. I have some other art on the wall done by other folks as well. Oh, and I have a mirror. I have a mirror above it as well. So yeah, none of that changes. The stuff on the wall doesn't typically change, but the altarscape itself will go from, you know, fall and winter, it's a death altar, and spring and summer, it looks more like something, it's a life altar, like it's an altar to life itself. But just in the way that the things that are on it, the way that it's laid out, again, the actual scape of the altar itself, of my working altar, will change based on the kind of work I'm doing. So, for example, when I do the open road ritual, which starts tomorrow for me, but probably today for you all, I'll have an X laid out on it. Like I'll have candles are set up in I'll set my lights in a different way. So, yeah, my baseline is normally, though, with the flow of the sun. All right. So this next one comes from Facebook. It says, as the season is coming to an end, what are y'all's New Year's rituals? Black Eyed Peas, of course. I'm for sure going to walk around my house with a suitcase and a good old sweep. Some things we do. So typically the ham that was had at Christmas, my mom will save that bone. And she'll make black eyed pea soup with ham, definitely, and some greens on the side with rice. Very prosperous meal. The ham, the peas, the rice, the greens, all of it is for prosperity, for abundance as we move into a new calendar year. For me, like I said, my new year starts on the winter solstice. So usually the night of the solstice, I will say some prayers, sit at my altar, light a candle, that kind of thing. Definitely the sweeping. I sweep out and cleanse my home, very much so on New Year's. I sweep out the back of my house. What are some other ones? Definitely if you decide to surround your house with red brick dust, the winter solstice is a time to renew that barrier for sure. Definitely a time to renew that barrier. What else? There's a thing with laundry, right? You're not supposed to do laundry on the new year because that'll wash away your blessings. So there's that. There's a bunch of superstitions. But yeah, I come from, as earth pagan as I am, as hoodoo spiritual as I am, I come from a typical Black American family. So, you know, we got the Christmas tree. We share gifts at Christmas, the whole deal. It's not very Christian. It's very secular. But we do that. We eat well. We go see a movie. We play games, the whole deal. And then on New Year's, we typically will have that New Year's Day meal, the black eyed peas, the rice, the greens. And then we will watch the ball drop. And then as you know, that time in between when we're watching the ball drop on TV, we play some Uno and we just share in each other's merriment. We enjoy each other. So yeah, that's what I do around the new year. Hope you guys have some fun New Year rituals that you get to partake in this year. Okay, so we made it to the end of the podcast. Thank you guys for staying with me for as long as you did. If you haven't done so already, please don't be afraid to hit that like and subscribe button. Follow me wherever you are listening. I want you to know that I totally appreciate you just sticking around and being in conversation with me. I enjoy that very much so. Before we get out of here, cousin, I want to let you know that you deserve the world. Working with the moon phases allows us to see quick return on the work. We only got to wait a month. We only have to wait a month to see return. But sometimes there's things in our life that requires patience, more effort, a little longer to come to fruition. And that's what the solar cycle is for. That's what the solar rhythm is for. This rhythm pushes us through life. It dictates, you know, how we spend our time. It dictates what we eat and where it grows, right? So that solar rhythm is essential to our lives, and it should not be ignored. And at this winter solstice, a time when we are at our darkest and the sun is starting to make its comeback, I encourage you to weed your spiritual garden, to get in there and really think about the things that you need to remove. So that way, when we're out of the darkness and the light starts to illuminate and you call for your blessings can find you easily. I hope you guys have a great day, and I'll see you guys next time.